should focus on the next year.
Bar Krasnab Pashas Vayigash.
The Gemara in Shabbos famously discusses the significance of Chanukah. The Gemara says, "My Chanukah," and then it relates the Nisim that Chanukah commemorates of finding the oil and the battles. It's also accepted that Chanukah is a time which marks the significance of Torah Shebal Peh and the significance that Chazal have in making mitzvahs and interpreting the Torah. Chanukah, of course, is a mitzvah drabbanon, and because of that, it's a time where we think about Chazal and Torah Shebal Peh and the mitzvahs drabbanon. And I just share with you a very interesting insight I saw yesterday from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. This is in his Shuvah Svarim, Nun Aleph and Nun Beis. And he elaborates on this idea. He says a very interesting idea, which I'd never seen before. So he quotes the Gemara in Yomot Chavtes Amad Aleph. And the Gemara there speaks about Esther in relation to Purim. And the Gemara says that the Mizmar of Esther is Amnatzeh Ayeles HaShachar. And the Gemara says that it compares Esther to the idea of Shachar, which is sort of the end of the night time. And the Gemara says, just as Shachar signifies the end of the night, so to Esther was Sof Hanisim, was the end of the miracles. Now, the Gemara asks, what do you mean Esther is Sof Hanisim? What about Chanukah? Chanukah was also a time of Nisim. Chanukah came after Esther. Esther was before the second Beis Hamikdash was built. Chanukah, the Gemara says, was about 200 years, a bit more than 200 years after the second Beis Hamikdash was built. So why are we calling Esther Sof HaNisim? Surely Chanukah was Sof HaNisim, the end of the miracles. The Gemara answers, no. Esther is Sof HaNisim, which are Nitan Likosev. Esther is the last one of the miracles which are written down as a book of Tanakh, whereas Chanukah was kept as Torah Shebal Peh, kept as Mitzvah Drabbanon. It wasn't written down as part of the 24 books of Tanakh. Chanukah was after the period of Nevi'im, therefore no Megillah was written about Chanukah, at least not a Megillah that was part of Tanakh. Now, Chanukah and Purim are often sort of put together. You know, the Rambam puts Chanukah and Purim together in his Sefer. And Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld explains the significance in this way. So the Gemara says Esther was the end of the books of Tanakh, of the Nisim that could be written down. So that sort of signifies the end of Torah Shebiksav. Now, Chanukah comes along. And Chanukah couldn't be written down. Why not? Because they were already beyond the period of Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im lived at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi who were giving prophecy about the second Beis HaMikdash. But shortly afterwards, they were no longer there. And at that point, they couldn't write down anything. They didn't have Nevi'im to make books of Tanakh. Now, as we know, throughout history, the end of the Bayis Sheni, so other nations came along and they were challenging the Jewish nation. They wanted to add to the Torah, change the Torah. And we know we have our animamin, that the Torah lo sei muchlefes, lo sei Torah acheres, the Torah can't be changed, it can't be added to. And in that way, Chanukah shows that the Torah Shebiksav we have cannot be changed. Because if it could be changed, they would have added another Megillah when the miracle of Chanukah happened. But they didn't, because there were no more Nevi'im. So Chanukah shows us that the era of Nevi'im has finished, it has stopped. You can't change the Torah, you can't add to the Torah. And Chanukah starts sort of celebrating the idea of Chazal and Torah Shebal Peh.
Maybe that's the reason why we give Chanukah.
Yes. Oh, it's not even in. Yes. Right. So now he says, where is this alluded to? What are the remarks to this? So he's very beautiful. He says, Chanukah is the 25th of Kislev. Now, how many books of Tanakh are there? So there's 24. Rashi brings this down. A Talmud Chacham has to be adorned with the 24 books of Tanakh. Like a Kala has 24 items of jewelry. And the Gemara says, well, we count the 24 books, there's the five books of the Torah. You have the eight books of Nevi'im. And then you have sort of the five Megillahs as well as six books in Kesuvim, so it's another 11. So altogether there's 24. So Chanukah is the 25th of Kislev, so it's signifying the idea that you have the 24 books of Tanakh, which cannot be added to, cannot be changed. And then Chanukah comes, which is already the 25th, signifying this is beyond Tanakh, and that starts a new era of Chazal with Torah Shebal Peh. And he says this is hinted in the name of Chanukah. Chanukah, he says, stands for Chesed and Ches Nevi'im. This is the eight books of Nevi'im. Vov Kesuvim, the six books of Kesuvim. And Hey, at the end, is five Megillahs. So you have eight Chanukah, Chesnun, Chesnevim, Vov Kesuvim, five Megillahs, and that adds up to, you've got the five and 11 is 16. So he's saying that, well, you've got so the five, the eight books of the Nevi'im, and the 11 books altogether of Kesuvim, so that's the 19, plus the five books of the Torah. So in the name of Chanukah, it hits to what you can add onto the Chumash, and then Chanukah comes along, you can't add anymore. So in that way, even the name of Chanukah hints to the extra books which are beyond the Chumash, and you cannot have any more books once you reach the era of Chanukah. Now, Yosef Chan then goes into the halachas of Chanukah, and he points out that Chanukah is, as he says, this mitzvah drabbanon. And we find a unique discussion in the Gemara about Chanukah. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos speaks about the brachas of Chanukah. And it says we make the three brachas on the first night, the two brachas on the second night. The Gemara says, what's the standard bracha of the mitzvah of Chanukah? It says, Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lahadik ner shel Chanukah. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos daf chaf gimel asks for heichon tzivanu. So where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to perform the mitzvah of Chanukah? So what's the question? Because we know if we have a mitzvah deraisa, tefillin, tzitzis, so we can say that v'tzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do this mitzvah. But once we get to a mitzvah drabbanon, like Chanukah, so the Gemara says, heichon tzivanu, where are we commanded with such a mitzvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wrote in the Torah that we have to do this mitzvah, so how can we say in the bracha, Kidshadu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu that commanded us, it was Chazal that gave us the mitzvah. So, Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld asks, so why does the Gemara only ask this specifically with the mitzvah of Chanukah? And we have other mitzvahs drabbanon, and we have Eruvin, we have Netilas Yodayim, so there are other mitzvahs drabbanon where we say v'tzivanu, but we don't find the Gemara asking why do we say v'tzivanu with these other mitzvahs. So specifically with Chanukah, the Gemara says heichon tzivanu, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us? And so why is it that with specifically with Chanukah, the Gemara asks heichon tzivanu? So let me tell you what the Gemara answers before we discuss this idea. So the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says either lois sosur, because the Torah says lois sosur. The pasuk in Shoftim says lois sosur min hadavar ashi agida lecha, you shouldn't stray from what Chazal tell you. The Gemara gives a second explanation, sha'al avicha v'yageidcha zekeinecha v'yomrulach, ask your fathers and they will tell you, zekeinecha, your elders, and they will inform you. And the Gemara says this is the source for, in the Torah, for listening to Chazal. But still the question is, why is this said specifically in relation to Chanukah as opposed to other mitzvahs? So he answers, and he says, in fact, this answer is alluded to by the Ramban in his commentary to Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he says, other mitzvahs have at least some connection to a mitzvah d'oraisa. So take, for instance, the mitzvah of Eruvin. So Eruvin, or Eruv Chatzeiros, the idea of not carrying from one rishus to another rishus, so it's linked to the idea of Chatzah, of not carrying on Shabbos, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the Lamatas Malachas. You have Erev Tchumin, which is possibly also sourced in Tchumin, which are so a larger Tchum, which is Deraisa. So you have the idea of Erevin, which is linked to a Deraisa. You have Muktzah, which is, the Gemara seems to say, a Gezerah, so that you shouldn't come to carry, or you shouldn't come to do business on Shabbos. So most mitzvahs drabbanon are a mishmeres, are a safeguard to an existing mitzvah deraisa that you have. Netziyas odayim, the idea of washing your hands before you have bread, is linked to truma, which you needed to wash your hands to be matara, then you shouldn't be eating it with betumah, and you should be matame the truma. So most mitzvahs that we have are linked to an existing mitzvah deraisa. Then we have the mitzvah of Chanukah. And Chanukah is unique in that it's a mitzvah drabbanon, and it's not linked to any other mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not a safeguard. It's not trying to put up a fence so that we shouldn't transgress a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah drabbanon which recalls a nes, a miracle that happened to our ancestors at the time of the Bais Sheni. But it's not coming to strengthen or protect an existing mitzvah d'oraisa. Yes, so Purim, they say Purim, the Gemara doesn't speak about, because that's at least sourced in Divrei Kabbalah. We have Megillas Esther. So there it makes more sense that it's through a Nevuah, which is written down in Tanakh. So that's that. There the Gemara wasn't so bothered. But here we have Chanukah, which is not linked to a mitzvah deraisa. There's no obvious mitzvonu in connection with any deraisa. It's a pure mitzvah drabbanon. And on that, the Gemara asked, Heichad Sivonu. So if it's a pure mitzvah drabbanon, not linked to any deraisa, So then the Gemara wants to know where, how can we say Vitzivonu if there's no, it's not linked to any mitzvah deraisa. And the Gemara answers, so it doesn't have to be sourced in a mitzvah deraisa. When your zakenim and chazal tell you to do something, then the Torah says you have to listen. So in that sense, the Torah is telling us to listen to chazal, even if it's not a protection for a mitzvah deraisa. And what about the first pasuk, lo sosur? So he also points out, Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk. The Gemara says, lo sosur min adavo, don't stray from the word that Chazal tell you. And Rashi finishes the pasuk, Rashi says, everything they should do, they tell you, you should follow. So Rashi brings the end of the pasuk, but also tells us, anything Chazal tell us, even if it's not linked to a mitzvah deraisa, we still have to keep this mitzvah Chazal. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, we make a bracha, even though it's mitzvah drabbanon. And he points out that this Gemara does come one other place in Shas, as far as I know. As the Gemara in Sukkah also brings it, in connection with making a bracha on Lulav, on Arba Minim, for the last days of Sukkot. So on the first day of Sukkot, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa, and then the last days of Sukkot, out of the Beis HaMikdash, are mitzvahs drabbanon. And the Gemara brings exactly the same Gemara in relation to Chanukah. Heichad Sivonu, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us? And the Gemara answers, because also, Lo Sosam in Adavo, or Shal Avicha V'Yageitcha. And again, he says, that's because the mitzvah of the last 6 days of Sukkah, of shaking Arba Minim, is Zeichel HaMikdash. It's commemorating what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. So there too, it's not a safeguard, a gezerah protecting an existing mitzvah. It's a new mitzvah drabbanon to remember something that used to be. And therefore, the Gemara says, Heichad Sivonu, where do they command us? And the Gemara answers, because of this idea of listening to Chazal, no matter what they tell you, you have to listen to what they say, even if it's not protecting an existing mitzvah deraisa. Okay, so this idea of Chanukah being sort of this unique mitzvah drabbanon, which is not linked to any mitzvah deraisa, this is also brought up in another connection, which I'd like to share with you, a very interesting idea. And this is brought in connection with listing the Tariag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvahs, and in the Sefer Mitzvahs he explains his reasons for what he lists in the 613 mitzvahs, and he has a number of shoroshim, sort of methods that he's using to work out what mitzvah is in the 613 mitzvahs, and what mitzvah is not incorporated within the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam starts off, and he says he's disagreeing with the Bahag. This was the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who wrote a Sefer, also listing the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam says that he was so amazed to see that the Bahag lists mitzvahs drabbanon in the 613 mitzvahs. The Bahag lists Chanukah, and Purim, and Hallel, and other mitzvahs, which are certainly sort of anchored in the words of Chazal, and he lists them as the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam comes along, and the first thing that he writes in his Shoresh HaRishon, the first sort of explanation of how he lists the 613 mitzvahs, he says, I would have thought it was obvious that the Gemara says, Tariag mitzvah, 630 mitzvahs, was said to Moshe B'Sinai, and he says, I would have thought it was obvious, how can you list mitzvahs Drabanan in the 613 mitzvahs? And he says, you know, one of the first principles that I will follow in my approach to listing the 613 mitzvahs is that you cannot have a mitzvah Drabanan in the 613 mitzvahs. And he says, and if you're starting to list mitzvahs drabanan, what about Eruvin, Netilas Yodayim? You can't just pick and choose some of the drabanans. In the Bahag, he lists Chanukah, but he doesn't list Eruvin, and he doesn't list Netilas Yodayim. So the Rambam says, I don't think you should list any drabanans, but if you're anyway listing drabanans, then surely all mitzvahs drabanan should be part of the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban writes a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, answering the questions of the Rambam. And he says like this, so he says, well, you can't ask that question, why doesn't the Bahag list all mitzvahs drabanan? Because he doesn't list any mitzvah drabanan which is linked to an existing mitzvah deraisa. So Eruvin is linked to Shabbos, Netilas Yodayim is linked to Truma. So other mitzvahs are already in the list because they have that link to an existing mitzvah deraisa. When does the Bahag list new mitzvahs drabanan? That's when they're new and not linked to any existing mitzvah which is already on the list. And therefore he puts Chanukah in the list of the 613 mitzvahs because it's a new mitzvah which deserves to be counted by itself because it has no link to any existing mitzvah which has already been listed in the 613 mitzvahs. Okay, so I'd like to move on now to a slightly different aspect which is general to all takanas which Chazal make. It's a very interesting sort of idea within this takanas Chazal, which is very broadly discussed and is very relevant and a practical discussion. And I'll start the discussion with something which is relevant to Chanukah, which will lead us to this broader discussion. Now, we know with Chanukah, the Gemara says, where do you put the menorah? So the Gemara says, you put the menorah al Pesach Beisai. You put the menorah, the ideal place is on your entrance of your house, outside your house, maybe outside of your chotzer, if you have a chotzer, there's a discussion about it. But certainly the ideal place for your menorah is outside the house. The Gemara says, if you don't have a door, you put it in your window. Or v'shas ha-sakana, where there's a sakana, where there's danger, you can't do the mitzvah properly. So the Gemara says that at that point you can manicha al shulchana, you can put it indoors on your table for daya, and that's enough. And the poskim discuss that how come nowadays, where certainly in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael it's different, but in Chutz La'aretz we don't find people putting their menorahs outside their doorway. Even though there's not such a sakana, you know, you can't say it's sakana sefoshes to do that. The post could say with sukkah, some mafarshim discussed people building the sukkahs on the streets and they weren't so inhibited. And how come when it comes to Chanukah, we follow this idea of the shas ha-sakana and we put the menorah inside the house, even though there's not such an obvious sakana sefoshes anymore to leave the menorah outside? So this is a very big discussion. I don't know if anyone's discussed it this year in entire way. But there's lots to say, and a very complicated question. Just to give some brief outlines to why nowadays in Chutz La'aretz we don't like outside. So some say that, well, sakonos, it doesn't mean sakonos nefashos necessarily, there's danger tonight. Any type of sakana or sort of awkwardness of putting the menorah outside means that we don't have to put it outside. So if it might be stolen or it might be extinguished or there might be in a bit of a commotion. So that's what the Gemara means about sakana. And because of that, it's sufficient reason not to put the menorah outside. We can leave it inside our house. And so still we put it near the window so that there should be some purity. There was a discussion between Rav Eliashiv and Rav in Tel Aviv, who wrote a sefer called Var Yoshua, Rav Yoshua Ehrenberg. Rav Ehrenberg was, I believe, a Belzer Chassid. And he said that once you have a situation where Chazal said, B'shas ha-sakana, when there's a sakana, you can leave the menorah inside. So he says, once Chazal changed the nature of the mitzvah, so then it remains like that, even though the situation may have changed. So even though the circumstances of sakana may no longer be relevant, but once they change the nature of the mitzvah, so then the new sort of dynamic to the mitzvah remains, even when the reason for this change is no longer relevant. And therefore he says that even though there might not be a shas hasakana, but once that was instituted as an option, so we keep that practice, even though the reason for it is no longer relevant. Rav Eliashiv strongly disagreed, and you can see Rav Eliashiv's shuv and kav. It's shuv's way he disagrees. There was a backwards and forwards, but this is the discussion: whether if there's no longer shas hasakana, can you still light indoors, or do you have to light outdoors? That's all the quoted in the name of the Brisk Rav. He also held that, you know, once you had this shas hasakana, even though there's no sakana anymore, you're still definitely yotzer, if you like, inside, because even though the circumstances may have changed, this is the way Chazal said you could do the mitzvah, and therefore that continues even though things are no longer the same. So in Eretz Yisrael there are different nahagim. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Rishonim, you have to light outside, but the Hasidim, I believe, still light inside, and even in Eretz Yisrael. And I believe because of this, that they say, you know, once you've had this shas hasakana, then the mitzvah stays inside. As I said, there's lots to say about this. So that's just sort of touching the surface of it. But there's certainly this opinion that once you had this option, then the dynamic of the mitzvah changes, and then your yotzer, and possibly even ideally you would light inside. So that's a discussion with some relevance to Hanukkah. But the truth is that this is a question which can be asked on many takanas and many mitzvahs drabonon. When Chazal make a mitzvah, or when Chazal make a gezerah, a gezerah drabon, an enactment drabonon, and then the circumstances change where this may no longer be relevant. So is the gezerah, is the mitzvah that Chazal made still in force, or does it change with the changing circumstances? So I'll just give you some, again, this is a very big discussion with lots of applications. I'll just give you some of the Maariv Makom, some of the sort of the basic sources where this is discussed. So the Gemara in Beit Sadaf Hey Amad Aleph says that once Chazal make a gezerah, they call it a Dovah Sheba Minyan, once Chazal make a Takana Durabonon, so they say something has to be done, then even if the situation changes, you can't veer from what Chazal have said unless a new Beis Din come along and make a new gezerah. So say Dovah Sheva Minyan, once you have a gezerah made with a minyan of Chazal, Tzarech Minyan Nahatira, you need a new Beis Din to come along to make a change. And just because circumstances change, you cannot change from what Chazal say. Gemara says, where do we know this from? Well, we see this idea in the Torah. The Gemara says, the Psukim say, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in Har Sinai, so they weren't allowed to go on to Har Sinai. Then the Pasuk says, Bim Shoich HaYovel, Heimah Yalu Vahar, when the shofar blows, then they can go up to Har Sinai. The Gemara says, well, the whole point they couldn't go up to Har Sinai was when the Shechinah was there. Surely when the Shechinah left, they could go up. Why do they need the shofar to blow? The Gemara says, because Dovah Sheba Minyan, Tzarech Minyan, Achel HaTira. You can't just assume that things change when the circumstances change. You need a specific order from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that case, that at that point, Bim Shoich HaYovel, then you can go up. You need an instruction that you can behave differently from the initial order. And this is in the Torah. Then the Gemara says in Chazal, we see this as well. The Gemara brings an example of Kerem Revai. That means when they had some Netzer Revai and Kerem Revai, when they had fruit in the fourth year that needed to be brought up to Yerushalayim. Now, you could bring it up to Yerushalayim, or you could redeem the fruit on money, bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and then buy new fruit in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that Chazal made a takana, that anyone within a day's walk of Yerushalayim had to bring the fruit up to Yerushalayim, kedei la'ate Yerushalayim appear. So Yerushalayim should be beautified, it should be adorned with the fruits which are being brought up to Yerushalayim. You know, these people who live nearby should bring fruit up to Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim should be more beautiful. And the Gemara says, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and this reason was no longer relevant, Rabbi Eliezer would still bring his fruit up. He wouldn't redeem it on money, because he said, well, once Chazal made this takana, even though the reason is no longer relevant, but you can't change from what Chazal have said, unless a new Beis Din comes along and explicitly says you don't have to keep the old law which Chazal made. Yes, so that you're right. So with Hanukkah, the discussion is that the half an hour period is when with no street lighting. Maybe things should change when it's. So as we'll see, it really depends on how Chazal made this gezeirah. Did they say you have to light whenever people are on the street, or did they say half an hour? Although the Gemara doesn't say half an hour, the Rambam says half an hour, but did they say, okay, that time period, and even if people are still on the streets, you're so this is the discussion, how, and it's very unclear, what exactly did Chazal say, and how did they say things? So on the one hand, the Gemara says you can't change from the initial gezeirah that Chazal make. On the other hand, there are instances where we see things do change. So in Siman Kuf Tes Zayin in Yoredea, it's a Siman which discusses things which you should be careful from Sakana, things which are regarded as a Sakana, things which you shouldn't eat because of danger. And the Shulchan Aruch starts off discussing Mayim Geluyim, water or liquids which have been left uncovered and unwatched. So they've been left by themselves, without a cover. And the Gemara says, if they're left unsupervised, we're concerned that a snake has come along and left the poison in the drink. And therefore, you shouldn't have this mashkin geluyim, you shouldn't have this liquid which has been left unsupervised and uncovered. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting Tosfos, that's only where you have a place where snakes are to be found. But he says in places nowadays where we don't have snakes, so then the takana of Chazal is no longer relevant, because the whole reason why you can't have these drinks which are left uncovered and unsupervised is because a snake has come along and left the poison there. Well, in places where there are no snakes, you don't have to keep the original takana of Chazal, because the circumstances have changed. Similarly, we find with Mayim Achronim, Tosfos also discusses this with Mayim Achronim. The Gemara in Brachos says, Chazal made a takana that before you bench, you have to wash your hands, Mayim Achronim, because of Melach Sodomis, of this salt, which was could be possibly dangerous if it came in contact with your skin and your eyes. So the Gemara said, before you bench, you had to do Mayim Achronim. Tosfos says, but nowadays we're not so particular, because we don't have this Melach Sodomis. Things have changed, so you don't have to keep that particular takana of Chazal. There it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that you do Mayim Achronim. So you see, there's a very broad discussion about if things change, do you still have to keep the takana? Sometimes we see that if things change, you still have to keep to the original takana. For instance, Tosfos, even though Tosfos says with Mayim Achronim and with Mayim Geluyim, things change, you don't have to keep it. With regards to doing work after midday on Erev Pesach, where the Gemara says you can't do work because there was a Korban Pesach, and then you couldn't do work because of the Korban Pesach. Tosfos says, even though there's no Korban Pesach, you still can't do work after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. So sometimes it seems you have to keep to the original Takana, and sometimes where things change, you don't have to keep to the original Takana. So the Pri Chadash, this is one of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, so he says it depends on the nature of the original takana of Chazal. So he says, where Chazal made the takana as a blanket rule in that generation, so everywhere, everyone in that generation has to keep to a particular takana. Let's say when there's a Beis HaMikdash, no one after midday could do work because of the Korban Pesach. Or when there's a Beis HaMikdash, no one can redeem their fruit if they're within a day's walk of Yerushalayim. So in that instance, where the takana was made without exceptions, so then everyone has to keep it, even if the circumstances change. Now he says, however, where the original takana took into account the circumstances, so for instance, if there was originally a takana where there are snakes, you can't have liquid when it was uncovered. Where there's this salt, you have to wash Mayim Acharonim. So if originally they structured the Gezeirah in that way, then when things change, you don't have to keep to the original Takana. And then there's a lot of discussion. Well, how do we know when they made the Takana in that way? The Vilna Gaon is brought down. He says, look, Chazal always had hidden reasons for making takanas, and therefore you can't just say, well, the reason's not relevant anymore, I won't keep to it, because they may have had many other reasons for their takanas, which we don't know about, and we have to keep it anyway. So, as I said, this is so there are many grey areas, such as you know, Chalav Akum. You know, what did they say in that situation where it's not relevant, where there's no way that sort of non-kosher milk could have been mixed in? Do you still have to keep it? Do you not have to keep it with the cheese? There are discussions where there's no chance that non-kosher things could have been mixed in. So there's lots of discussion about Takanas Chazal. And what was the original intent when they made the Takana? If it was a blanket Takana, you have to keep it even though things have changed. If they took into account the circumstances when the original Takana was made, then even when things change, then when things change, possibly the Gezeirah is adapted. Okay, so hopefully if there's time, we'll come back to this a little bit. I just wanted to move on to something else. So the Gemara says when they were making the mitzvah of Chanukah. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Amud Beis speaks about the miracle. They didn't have any oil, and then they found one jar of oil, which with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which was tar, and it was only enough to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. And then the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, it was Nasa by Nes, and Hidliku Shmaina Yomim, Lushana Acheres, the Gemara says, next year, Kavum Basom Yomim Tovim Bahalal Vodah. Next year, they made it a Yom Tov of Halal and Hodah. And the Mefarsh asks, why does it say Lushana Acheres? The next year, they made this Yom Tov. Why didn't they make it? Now, on the day, they saw the miracle, it lasted for 8 days. Surely that was a sign from Shemayim that that something special was going on. They should have made the Yom Tov on that day. Why did they wait the Shana Acheres to the next year to make the Yom Tov of Chanukah? So they say, I think Kedushas Levi says that the next year they saw that the sort of the Oros and Shemayim were opening. They saw from Shemayim that they agreed that this was the Yom Tov, the spiritual Hashpah that comes down every Yom Tov was there, and therefore they were able to make the Yom Tov. I want to suggest another reason. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei, discusses the idea that sometimes Chazal would revoke an earlier takana which an earlier Beis Din had made. So the Gemara speaks about some of the things that Chazal said were also. So let's say Cholov Akum, the milk and the cheese of produced by non-Jewish people. The Gemara says, what about Shemen? What about oil? So the Gemara says, oil originally was forbidden. It was originally Asa. And then the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya of Rebbe, so he came along and he said that the oil is now mutter, it's now permitted. So he revoked the earlier issur of Shemen, which was produced by non-Jewish people. So the Gemara says, well, how can you do such a thing? How can Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya have allowed Shemen Shel Akum? So this is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? The Chazal say that you eat with the Shemayin Asad Dabu, the 18 things that Hillel and Shammai made the Gezeirah on, including Shemen, Afiliyova Eliyahu Basin, even if Eliyahu Novi comes, Ein Shemin Lo, we don't listen to him. And even with broader Takaras Chazal, the Gemara says that you can't allow an earlier Gezeirah unless your godel heimen a bachachma of a minyan, unless the second Beis Din is greater bachachma of a minyan, they're greater in chachma, they're greater tamidei chachamim, they've got more support, then the second Beis Din can allow an issur made by a previous Beis Din. But if the second Beis Din, like Rehud and the Sea, was much later on, it wasn't greater in chachma, it wasn't greater in minyan, how can they come along and allow shemen, which was forbidden by an earlier Beis Din? So the Gemara says the reason is because Yoshua Rabbi Seidu Abodka, they checked al shemen shelo pashat isura b'rov Yisrael, because the issue of shemen never sort of took hold in Klal Yisrael. It didn't spread throughout Klal Yisrael. It wasn't accepted in Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says in gozrim gezeira la tzibo elam kin rov tzibo yochal amibah. They didn't. Chazal didn't want to make a gezeira if the majority of Klal Yisrael couldn't keep to the gezeira. So other gezeiras were widespread and they were accepted, but the gezeira of shemen, of not using oil produced by non-Jewish people, non-Jewish sources, so that never sort of spread throughout Klal Yisrael. Since it wasn't pashat, it didn't spread. Therefore, a later Beis Din can revoke an earlier Beis Din in this situation where it wasn't really kept by the majority of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Gemara says in connection with Shemen. So I was wondering, perhaps you can apply this not only to Isurim, but also to mitzvahs, which Chazal are masakin. So, you know, the Gemara says they weren't gozer gezerah unless the majority of the tzibur would be able to keep this gezerah. So that's what gezerah. What about mitzvahs drabanan? So do we say the same thing with the mitzvah? They wouldn't make a mitzvah unless the majority of people would do the mitzvah. And the truth is, I didn't see much discussion about it. I found an Aruch HaShulchan that speaks about Mayim Achroinim, and he, in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, in Aruch Haim, it seems to be from the Aruch HaShulchan that the same thing would be with mitzvahs, that if you have a mitzvah which sort of wasn't taken on by the majority of Klal Yisrael, Chazal wouldn't institute such a mitzvah. As I say, I haven't found good makaris for this, but it's a suggestion. So possibly with Hanukkah, why did they wait the Shana Acheres? Because of that year when they had the miracle, so of course there was enthusiasm, everyone saw the Nisim, it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, they just defeated the Yevonim. So the enthusiasm was there that year. But who says that this enthusiasm for the mitzvah would remain for future generations, that this mitzvah would take hold and it would be accepted by Klal Yisrael? So what did they do? So they waited the Shana Acheres. They wanted to see, would this enthusiasm for this Yom Tov still be there? Would people accept and want to do this mitzvah? Because they wouldn't make a gezeira, they wouldn't make this takana, if it wasn't going to be accepted by the majority of Klal Yisrael. So the Shana Acheres, next year they saw that when it came to the anniversary of the mitzvah, that people were still enthusiastic, people were still remembering the miracle, they wanted to do something to commemorate this miracle. So therefore, Lashon HaAcheres, at that point, Kovum, they made the mitzvah of Hallel, they made the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, because at that point they realized that the enthusiasm and the willingness to do this mitzvah was there, and therefore, therefore they could still make this mitzvah, and it would be accepted, and the mitzvah would endure. So therefore, it says Lashon HaAcheres, at that point, when they saw the atmosphere, they saw the mood, then they were prepared to make the mitzvah, and indeed, this mitzvah has still been done with great simcha and great enthusiasm. The Rambam says that mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is mitzvah chaviva ad ma'oid. It's a mitzvah which is beloved, has halachos, you know, you have to spend more money than other mitzvahs, spend all your money to perform the mitzvah. There's mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. So, you know, to this day, this is a mitzvah which originally had this enthusiasm, and to this day is still done with the same enthusiasm and with the same simcha. Amen.